Blog Talk Radio.
Bring on Miss Denise Coleman.
Hi Denise, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much
Can
for
you hear
having
me?
me. Yeah, I
Can you
can.
hear me?
You may not.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? I'm gonna go in and out.
Yes.
I have a sore throat. Maybe my voice is cracking a little.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
Why don't
Okay.
you tell us a little bit about yourself that's not in the bio?
Well, I would say the biggest thing is I enjoy people, and I guess people wouldn't know that, of course, just because I write books, but part of the reason I write is because I want to get out and meet people and, just converse and get to know everybody. Like, I'm a huge people person, and I sincerely enjoy, like, sports and music as much as I do books. And I'm absolutely crazy about my family. That's like the biggest thing in the world to me is family.
Now, when was your first novel released?
The very first one was in 2010. That was Drama with a capital D. I started on the Melodrama label before I went independent.
What was the inspiration behind Drama with a capital D? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, actually, it was the inspiration came from several people. It was just people I had known over the years who, taking a step back, I would see them do things and complain about everything that was going on in their own world, in their own personal relationships, and not see that some of their own behaviors were the reason that these things continue to happen. Like, you keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. So the main character in that book, Lonnie, is just a culmination of some of those people and their issues and the need for them to get to the realization, like, oh, if I changed what I'm doing, everything around me would change as well. So that's what goes on with that character in that
Now,
story.
you said it was with Melodrama at first, and then now are you self-publishing?
Yes.
Now, what do you recommend? Do you recommend going with a publishing company, or do you recommend self-publishing?
Oh, that definitely is an individual personal decision. I simply prefer to be independent because I need to have more control over what happens. And I'm not very good at answering to other people, and some folks may be, so it really depends on each individual and their personality.
What is the best advice that you received since you entered the publishing world?
Honestly, when as far as the writing part goes, the absolute best advice I got was from Indy, who's also on the Melodrama label, and she said, just write one sentence at a time. Just take it one sentence at a time. So that was the best advice as far as the writing goes. And she actually told me once to stop being a fan and start being an author. And that just It does change your perspective on how you behave and, how you view the entire book world and how things go on. So that was really great for me.
Okay. When writing, what three things do you need to have in your presence besides your laptop or your pad and pencil?
Me, I actually need the TV because it can't be too quiet. If it's too quiet, I actually cannot focus in the quiet like that. And determination, because on some level I do procrastinate. And then you just have to have a desire to really, really write good stories. At least that's what works for me. I want people to enjoy what I do.
Okay. Just a real quick announcement. We have followers online. Forget if you have questions. Be sure to press 1. I just be there. I'll take it as you're just listening. Is there any that you would like to co-author with?
My friend Naisha McCoy, I think, is really, really good. And we started that melodrama about the same time. So, you know, she sends me her work occasionally, what she's working on, and I think she's so extremely creative. Like, I really, really enjoy what she does, and I would love to work with her.
Okay. Who are some of your favorite authors besides Naisha McCoy?
Oh, well, I go way back when I read the most. I was reading, like, Terry McMillan, just like everybody else, you know. And she really is one of my favorites. I used to really enjoy Omar Tyree as well. There are several. And then, like I said, I really enjoy Indy. I did like Crystal Lacey Winslow, who actually owns Melodrama. She was one of the first people I sent the manuscript to, so she's still one of my faves. I go back every now and again and read some of her stuff as well.
Okay. If you had to describe your writing in three words or less,
mm-hmm.
how would you describe it?
In three words or less, I would say unexpected relationship dramas. Definitely is unexpected. I think that I don't take the normal twists and turns with the story. I just let them come naturally. So they're definitely unexpected and exciting and funny.
What year did you say that Drama in a Capital G came out?
That came out in 2010.
2010. Okay, that means
yes.
2010. It's 2015 now. What's the biggest thing you noticed, the biggest change in the literary world since you put that first novel out?
Actually, the stories are a little more raw, which is fine. I think, you know, because there's just a different generation. I'm a little older. And a different generation, they view things a little differently, so they write that way as well, which is kind of cool. You know, they pull no punches, I've noticed. And I've also noticed that there is a huge contingency of independent authors. Like, a lot of people are not going the traditional route anymore, which I think is kind of cool. Everybody wants to take their own fate into their own hands.
Okay. Are you team paper book or team e-book?
Huh?
Paperbacks or e-books? Paperbacks or e-books? Which one do you prefer?
I prefer paperbacks. And it is so funny. The first time I tried to read a book on a tablet, it really annoyed me. I was so used to flipping the page. I wanted to flip the page, and that swiping was driving me crazy. I definitely prefer to be able to hold the book in my hands.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. If you had to change anything about Amazon, what would it be?
Actually, so far, I've been pretty satisfied. So I can't think of anything at this point because I have no complaints.
Oh, well, that's great. That's a first.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem with
that.
That
answer.
Really?
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I've never had a problem. If I have a question, I send an email, and I get a pretty quick response.
That's a blessing. How important are book covers to you?
Oh, that's the most important thing of all in terms of getting the readers to even stop and take interest. If a book cover doesn't catch the reader's eye, then they're not going to know you're there.
That is so true. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it really has to pop. So, yeah, that matters. That was, like, one of the first things I learned that, yeah, how important the cover was.
All right, now, let's talk about Shattered Innocence. I'm actually reading it now. I didn't get finished with it, but I'm actually reading it now. But tell us a little bit about that series.
And you're reading the first one, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess I didn't mention that I actually work in Child Protective Services in here in Jersey. It's called DICES. And what happens is we see a lot of children, you know, different ages coming through there with so many different issues or whatever, you know, in foster care, and some still at home. And I see a lot of teen girls with a lot of different issues. And although I didn't want to get that deep because some of the things are horrific, I decided that I wanted to take this family of teenagers and, you know, displace them. They had to, you know, leave home. I figured give them a reason that they had to be displaced. And then it's all the different changes that they go through in their personalities at the most vital time in their lives, around 15 or 16 years old, and what being away from your parents can do to you and change the entire course of your life and who you originally were. And, you know, it's a lot of drama and a lot of nonsense that they go through on this, that, and the other. And, of course, again, that's because of their own choices and their own behavior, because they get quite messy. And the second part two, it's just the drama continues, it's called, because they're a little older and they start to deal with some of the fallout from, you know, their choices. And part one, and I'm working on part three now, is a whole other level of drama for them because they are now adults and we get into some grown-up stuff.
Okay. Now I can't wait to get to part two. If you ever wrote a biography, what would you name it?
A biography or autobiography?
An autobiography.
Oh, for goodness sakes. It would be something like, you are not going to believe this. Nobody would ever say this. That would make the most sense.
How far back in time would you go?
Oh, wow. You know what? I actually would probably start at, 25. That was such a good year. I did a lot of things I had no business doing, and I had big fun.
You said at 35?
Yeah, definitely. That's 25.
25.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I see you had mentioned that you have four kids. You have older kids. Smaller kids?
Yeah. All adult. Four adult
okay.
children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, any grandkids?
Three. Yep. Three
I got what? I just had my first one last year.
Wow, that's great. That's great. They're a joy. They really are.
Yes,
I think
yes,
I like
yes.
mostly the conversations I have with them, and now I have all their activities to participate in, go cheer them on, and all of that, because they're getting older.
Now, say something happened and they passed the law, and you were only allowed to keep one book besides the Bible. What book would you keep?
Oh, my goodness. That's a really, really good question. All right, so I'm going to have to say one of mine, which is so unfair because you put me on the spot and I can't really think. So that's going to be it. You said one book besides the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no, I changed my mind. I'm sorry. You know what I would keep? I would keep The Secret. I love that book because I just believe everything that's in it and how you can, you know, make your dreams come true or make things happen in your own life. It gives me a lift. So that's a really good one.
I would keep Roller Thunder, Hear My Cry by Mildred B. Taylor.
Oh, that's good too. See, that is such
my
a hard question.
that's a good one.
My favorite book of all time. What's the last book you read?
The last book I read actually was, I'm not good with remembering titles. It was a Sister Soldier book that I actually sat down and I had to go back because I hadn't read it. And I was like, I had people talking about it still. So I went back and read it. And I'm sorry, but I can't come up with the name of it because I've read hundreds and hundreds
ever?
Of books. No, I've read that a million years
midnight?
Ago. No, it wasn't
was it midnight?
Was
it No Disrespect?
No.
Portia? That Portia? The Portia Santiago story? That's the last book.
It was.
A Deeper Love Inside?
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly
Deeper
what it
Love
was.
Inside.
I enjoyed
that's
that book so much.
Code
yeah. Right, and I'm like, why it's not going to come to me right now because there's so much going on in my head right now. Yeah, I'm terrible with titles. Terrible with titles. Now I can remember every author that I read, but I can't remember the name of the books. I think that comes from reading three books
book
a week.
How did you come up with your book title?
Actually, the first one, Drama with a Capital D, was actually a line in the book. And someone who had read the manuscript suggested that be the title because it fit. I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. And with the Shattered Innocence, that was the easiest series, and that's exactly what happens to these girls. And they carry it into adulthood, so that was quite simple. I'm working on another piece that actually does not have a title, and that's usually the last thing that comes. I don't even try to figure out what a title is going to be until the story is finished, because even though I may start out with an outline, I don't finish with it because things just change and grow organically. I would say that's how I write. I go with what's happening in the moment. I may have a definite idea of where, say, this next chapter is going, but based on the chapter before and maybe even one sentence, it changes to a whole new thing for me. New thoughts come, new inspiration. So, you know, titles have to come at the end when I see what the story is when it's done.
Where's your favorite place to write?
Honestly, on my couch. I have this great, big, comfortable, she's lounging there, and I love to just stretch out on that thing, that laptop in my lap, and pretend to stare at the TV and just go at it that way.
Is there a particular book that you read that made you decide, like, this is what I want to do? This is what I want to do. I want to write.
When I was a little girl, it was I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. That was actually the first book I had ever read from cover to cover. And I was about 11 years old at the time. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so great. And I remember for the first time being aware of my emotions and everything I was feeling, and that just reading words on the page could elicit that from me. And I was like, you know, someday I want to do this. Now, it took me longer to get started than I wanted to, but I believe that was a confidence and a fear thing. That's what did it for me, but I had never lost sight of that even with everything else that was going on in my life. I knew that someday I would get to that point that this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to do this. And, you know, I had to get a real job and survive first before I could focus on that and raise those children and all that. It was a lot of things that I allowed to get in the way, but like I said, I think that was a fear thing.
Do you have any upcoming book signings?
Not at the moment. There's been
there's some really terrible things going on, just within my family and a couple of family members, and I've really been focused on things like that. So besides the writing, I haven't set up anything because I want to go back out once I get part three done.
Okay. Do you ever do the Harlem Book Fair?
I have. I have been several times. I went last year, actually, because Shattered Part 2 had just come out. And so I was like, why not? You know, I have at least three books to offer. So we made the trip. And this year, I'm definitely not going to be able to go. Well, no, you know what? Let me not say that. Because if things together and things start to settle down here, then I'm on the road again.
I know that's right. I know that's right. If you could go somewhere for 6 months just to write anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Ooh. Well, based on the weather here, I think I would go to Hawaii. I definitely would stay in the country. And I would sit on the beach all day and write, because I don't mind handwriting either. I can do it that way. I can take the laptop, whatever. But it would have to be in the sun, in the heat, and the sound of the waves have always, always just relaxed me to no end.
Okay, my guilty pleasure is buying earrings. And reality TV. Do you have any reality TV? Do you have any?
guilty pleasures, definitely reality TV. The more angry they make me, the better. So we have that in common. Like, I love it, love it, love it, and won't deny it. And I actually love shoes. And I want to spend at least 2 days a week in a shoe store.
Are you a tennis shoe wear or a heel wear?
I love heels. I absolutely love heels.
Yeah, you said you like reality TV too. What's your favorite reality TV show?
Oh, well, I'm a huge Housewives fan. I love them. And actually, I really also enjoy competition reality. Like, I love Survivor and Amazing Race, stuff like that. So, Ratchet TV, definitely, Housewives, and competitive, win some money, would be shows like those, Survivor and Amazing Race and things like that.
I love Amazing Race. So, if you had an opportunity to go on Amazing Race, who would you take and why?
Oh, my gosh. I would probably take my daughter because she's, in my opinion, a genius. Like, she has a great mind. So, you know how they got to do a lot of thinking and putting things together there? She would do that. And she works out constantly. She's extremely athletic as well. So she could drag my behind along with her. Plus, we would get along great.
I'm sorry, my mic went out. Okay. Now, who's your favorite character on the Housewives?
A favorite character? I don't think I actually have a favorite. There are some that I truly enjoy. They make me laugh. And then there are others who you love to hate. So, no fates. I would say that Atlanta is my favorite of all. But in terms of one person, yeah, I don't think I could pick one person that I like better.
Now, out of all of your characters in all three of your books, who was your favorite one to write about?
I would definitely say Angel. Angel is one of the twins in the Shattered series. And I wrote her, there's something about her. She was one of the people who was always, I would say, a character that was roaming around in my head. And she's little bits and pieces of people I've known. And there's something about her, her strength that I admire, her determination that I admire, and her willingness to always be 100% honest. And it's something that she possessed as a teenager. She's always done her own thing, always stayed within the lines, but she did what she does what she wants to do, regardless of what anyone else has to say about it. So she definitely is my favorite.
Which one was your least favorite to write about?
Hmm.
Which one, as you saw, you got on your nerves, like, ooh, I can't stand him or her?
That would be Cherry Johnson from Drama. She was basically the bad guy, the troublemaker, and she was annoying. I used to say when I was writing her that this chick must be a pain in her own behind because she sure is getting on my nerves.
Now, if you had to turn either one of these books into Drama Look Up of the Year or Shattered Innocence into a movie, which one would you like to see on a big screen?
Definitely Shattered. Now, actually, and it's so funny that you asked that, because the book I'm working on now, and it has no title, I think would translate great into a movie, but I always thought that the Shattered Innocence series would make a good television series. So yeah, I don't think,
like a weekly series.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the characters are, I think that's the first time I felt that they were so much better developed than Lonnie. She was my in Drama. She was the protagonist in Drama, but she was, you know, my first book, my first try, and she was written in the first person, and Shattered is written in the third person. So I got a little more into detail about who these people are and where they come from. And the way I'm writing the third story and what they all have going on, it definitely has more meat and more longevity. So they would definitely be a good TV series.
Okay. Okay. Well, when you're not writing, what do you like to do?
Oh, I'm always outside. Like I said, I really enjoy, you know, going to the kids' events and things like that. I love music. I love to dance. And, you know what? I've really, like I said, I hang out a lot with my family or whatever, and we love things like game night and things like that. And I absolutely enjoy line dancing.
The first thing on your bucket list that you haven't accomplished that you want to accomplish next?
Movies. I absolutely do want a book, at least one book, to be made into a movie. That's at the top of my list of everything.
I know that's right. I know that's right. And can you tell us a little bit about your new book that's coming out?
The new one, that will be out after I get Shattered 3 out. And it's actually about, well, out of the four children I have are three sons. And they've gone through some issues or whatever, just growing and trying to become men, especially in the city that we come from. Well, we no longer live there, but, you know, we're from Camden, New Jersey, and it was rough. And so I decided to write a story about single moms and trying to raise male children to become men. And I had a lot of laughs along with a lot of pain with my children. I tried to pour everything like that into that story without making it a biography. So basically what it's about, their issues with them. And then, of course, I had to bring their own stuff into it, you know, like there's two moms, two sons, and I have one of the moms, she met a man, daughter named Rumor, and Rumor is a pain in the butt. So she's going to cause some drama. So I think it's going to be good.
What will we never see in a Denise Coleman book?
Never. No, I can't say that. I did kill somebody in one book. I was going to say murder because I don't like characters like that, but that was a necessary evil. I don't do drugs. There will never be drugs in a story because I can't, even though I've known people over the years in my own life, I can't comprehend it. I can't comprehend the effects it has on people and where the pain comes that takes them there in the first place. So I can't explore that properly. I won't touch it. I don't do street violence of any kind because I don't understand it. So I don't think, not having had those experiences myself on a personal level, if I can't myself, I can't write about it.
Now, is there any subject matter that you would never read?
I'm not really into, like, supernatural things like that. It's just too far-fetched for me, I think.
Now, if you could write any superstar's autobiography, whose would it be?
A superstar? Does it matter in what area?
Nope.
Okay, then I would write Kevin Durant's story. I love that kid.
Really? Why Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I do. I just think he's an amazing kid in terms of, well, first of all, of course, his basketball ability, but his kindness. And he appears to really have a great sense of self and a great sense of the world and how you treat people, and it's genuine. And that's what appeals to me about him. He's simply a really good kid, and I enjoy.
Well, when it's all
said
and done,
feet,
and
you
really have. Yeah. I was expecting you to say somebody like Idris Elba or somebody. when it's all said and done, and you've written your last paragraph, wrote the last, dotted the last I, crossed the last T, what is it that you want readers to remember about you and take away from your work?
Well, what I want them to remember about me is that I enjoy what I do, and if I ever met any of them, that I enjoyed them as well, because I truly do. Everybody who I meet, I enjoy, no matter what the circumstance. And as far as my writing goes, I want them to take away that no matter how difficult things are, they always, always get better as long as you have faith and keep on going. And that's what I, you know, the main thing I want to happen was at the end of every character, that they finally pull it together no matter what it was they were going through. I also want people to laugh.
A book review to you.
They're very important, actually. I'm not sure. I wonder if people realize how much people pay attention to things like that. Everything I do, especially when it comes to making a purchase of any kind, if I can get a review on a product first, and a novel is a product, I read a review. So it's very, very important. I'm always trying to get people to write a review. Every time I sell a book or give a book away for free, That's all I ask. Could you please just write a review?
Yeah, I agree that they're important too. Now, as an author,
yeah.
You said you do review books, right?
Occasionally,
what? I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I was going to say occasionally, but not too often because when I get in writing mode, I don't do a lot of reading because it throws me off. And, you know, I just need to stay in my own zone when I'm doing that. So I don't read as much as I used to. I really don't have a lot of time for it. Once to get in between books, I get back to it or whatever. So that's why I don't get to write a lot of reviews lately.
Okay. Now, if you had to build the ultimate anthology with four authors, what four authors would it be?
An anthology. Okay. I'm going to say, you know what? Kimberla Lawson Robey. I always have trouble saying her name. Definitely Naisha McCoy, Terry McMillan. And I throw a dude in there, Eric Jerome Dickey.
Nice lineup.
Yeah.
Nice lineup.
Yeah.
Now, how important is editing to you?
Oh, my gosh. It is, I would say, number two on the list of importance. Importance, a good story is important. Great editing, number two, and then the cover. I've read, and no offense to independent authors, I understand it's very, very difficult to even be able to afford a good editor. And it really it gets annoying for the reader when there are tons of typos and mistakes like that, things like that. And I found that I actually edited Shattered 1 and 2 myself. And I believe number 2, I'm so annoyed. There's literally one typo in there. I had Stacey Johnson Leonard read it. She said, there's one. And that was added at the very end, which drove me crazy. And it really is important. And I hear from readers all the time that they get upset when there are mistakes. And I understand that. I feel the same way about it. So it's very important because readers will get you for that as well. When a person reviews a book, they review everything.
Yes. Where do you see the literary industry next year?
I didn't catch that.
What do you see the literary industry in the next 5 years?
You know what? It's amazing. I think it's going to continue to grow. And there are so many writers that if it continues to grow the way it is, you're going to have more people writing than reading, which is odd considering how many people there are in the world. But people love to write now, and I think that's really impressive because it means that, let's say, the next generation and the generation after that, our children are reading and writing more and educating themselves more. So I really